Hello and welcome to another episode of A Vague Idea. This is a pseudo game show podcast hosted by me, Nate Regolia. It takes place live at the Irish Snug in Denver, Colorado.
The historic Irish Snug.
The historic Irish Snug. John is right. The point of this podcast is to see whether my guests, today Shannon Page and John Perros, to see whether they know about the following topics they kind of know, or if they have just a vague idea. We're going to give out points that don't really matter, but hopefully we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. So, without further ado, I want to introduce Shannon Page.
I wish you'd say, with me as always, Shannon Page.
With me as always, Shannon Page.
Isn't that from late night?
Oh, yeah.
Or something like that?
That's a very, Tonight Show band,
Tonight
whatever
Show,
kind of thing.
With me as always.
For sure. And with her always, but also with me always.
Oh, don't put it that way.
Is John Perros. What? This doesn't have to be weird.
You made it weird.
You got to make
That's
it weird.
That's Pete Holmes's podcast. We can't do that.
It works out well because I think You Made It Weird started in Denver, if I remember correctly.
Did it really?
I think. I'm totally making stuff up.
I wish I had a vague idea about whether that was the right or wrong answer, but I don't.
Rather what started in?
So there's this comedian, Pete Holmes, who has a podcast called You Made It Weird. And I think that he has a bit about the first time he really said that, and it was either recorded in Denver or it happened in Denver. It's Denver related somehow. So it's apt. It's very apt that we said that.
Do you have any background relationship with Pete Holmes, whether it's congenial or otherwise?
I used to book a friend of mine's comedy show in New York.
Okay.
And I did book him on the show one time.
No way.
Yeah.
See, that's very cool. I'm sure we're going to have lots of wonderful stand-up comedy stories to come on this show. So stay tuned for that at very least. Shannon, you want to talk about anything you've been working on, anything that you feel passionate about right now? We didn't really do a plugs thing last time, and I wanted to do something like that.
No.
Okay, great.
I don't have anything.
John Perros, let's talk about you for a minute, huh? Well, anything you want to plug, anything you're passionate about?
Just getting people involved in cycling for pleasure and
for leisure,
our cities.
For pleasure and for leisure, in the British way. John's rubbing his face.
The audience can't see that you're rolling your eyes at me.
I know that.
that's how this is gonna go, guys. So I hope you're ready for this because it's gonna be a thrilling experience. This is episode 2. We are going to be doing this until either the impending climate apocalypse of 2030 or we get to, I don't know, 2 million episodes, whichever comes first. Anything else you guys want to hit real quick before we get into the game? Or
Nothing All right. for me.
All right. A lot of quality silence.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I believe you guys tied last game?
No, Shannon totally won.
Shannon won. So
won by 2 points.
This is why I'm such a great host. So, Shannon, since you won, you get to pick a number to start us off on our first topic. This week, I have 9 listed. Now, we don't have to do all 9. One of them is actually a bit of a wild card choice in case one of them is a total bust. But let's go ahead. 1 through 9. What do you think?
I want to go with number 9.
Number 9.
Engine, number 9.
All right.
Number 9.
Oh, that's
yes.
a good one.
Number 9.
It's great. The Beatles can't sue us. That was only 8 seconds. Number 9 is the recently released climate change report. Shannon, do you know about that? Do you have some idea, or do you have a vague idea about that?
I don't. I'm going to defer to my fellow contestant here.
It's pass. Pass to John. John, what do you think about the recently released climate change report?
It's just about the worst report we've seen on climate change.
What do you mean by worst?
The effects are more serious than we thought they would be, and that they're going to happen sooner. That the chance to turn this big battleship around is shrinking by the decade.
That's well stated. Anything else you want to add on it, or? You got the point. I think gave it away.
Right now, I think we're at 1.5 degrees centigrade from the beginning of the industrial era. And they were saying that if we can't limit it to 2.5, basically the chance to limit it to 2.5 is going to be gone within 2 decades, essentially.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, like, there's going to be hell to pay.
Everything is going to die.
Is that what you said, the climate apocalypse what did you say, 2030?
2030, yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
So that wasn't, I just thought you were being funny.
That's report? This report was released by the UN this week, talking about everything John said, and, you know, additionally sort of laying out that, look, if we don't change our behaviors almost immediately, we're going to have coral reefs die, we're going to have massive, you know, coastal water issues, we're going to have ocean level rise, we're going to have all sorts of stuff.
What's been the reception of it?
You know how they receive things. Stopping early today, aren't
we?
Well,
we'll see.
Okay.
But not like last week was, oh my god, we're not recording, are we?
We are. But yeah, so this climate report was a pretty serious thing. It has not been received with any sort of seriousness from anybody in the conservative wings of things. You know, in fact, I think one of the actions...
But the rest of the world is taking it seriously.
Oh, sure. Just not the United States. Just not the controlling party in the United States, who are actually... They're working to cut more of the regulations around air pollution and things like that, because it's so expensive to not pollute. Boo-hoo! Hard to do business. Anyway,
I rode my bike to work today.
Damn right. See, and
I walked.
I walked, and I walked to Corgi too, which is like 6 times as much walking because
I walked here tonight.
I walked here tonight too.
I drove here. Sorry. It's really cold outside, though.
It's true. And you would have had to turn your heat up really high to get warm enough so that you could get out the door before you froze. Just would have been an icy Shannon cloud breaking behind you like a cartoon.
It would have been like that scene in Day After Tomorrow where they're in the helicopter and they open the door of the helicopter and stick their head out and then they freeze and then the helicopter freezes and then they crash.
Because
it's like the air is so cold you freeze instantly.
Oh yeah.
That's what it's like outside.
I remember.
Yeah, I didn't realize that helicopters had such amazing heating systems.
Oh yeah. You wouldn't believe what wolves are capable of doing in a library either. That movie. If there was a movie to revisit that I think we should watch together, I think...
Oh, it's so good.
It would be a lot of fun.
It's totally weather porn.
It's Jake Gyllenhaal, it's Dennis Quaid.
I know you're into it, Shannon.
Yes.
I don't know who else is in it.
I can't think of anybody right now.
A cast of thousands
There's
are
a lot
in this
of people.
Film.
You named the two big people that I can think of.
Physically. Everyone else is very small. It was a weird thing. Let's go on to round two. So,
Hold on, you gotta tell me that I got a point.
I just got a congratulations, and I didn't get anything.
Congratulations, you didn't get the point, is what I was going to say. John?
John, come back.
You won round one. So it's gonna be your turn to choose now. You have options 1 through 8. I'll take 8.
Off.
You want 8? Wow, we're just gonna crawl from the bottom up.
We had problems last time keeping up with what numbers were left.
Number 8. John, do you know, do you kind of think you know, or do you have a vague idea about the film Halloween? Talking about the original from the 70s.
I'm sure Shannon knows this one. I'm going to let her shine here.
Shannon just made a lip lock. Turning the key.
I'm not.
Not a kiss. But she made that
I'm not signal. Influencing your answer at all.
I don't know.
You don't just
I
nothing?
Just don't know.
You don't know. You really don't know?
No.
Okay. Shannon, you got a free point to pick up.
Like any one little morsel.
So, starring Jamie Lee Curtis, it's the story of her brother. Oh, spoiler alert. I think.
Spoiler alert for a 40-year-old movie. Yeah.
Her brother, Michael Myers, trying to kill her. He's wearing a mask that is actually a William Shatner mask, painted white.
Michael Myers was in Halloween?
It's not the Michael Myers from Saturday Night Live. That's
no,
Michael
but
Myers.
Michael Myers, the one that wears a hockey mask.
No. The hockey mask is Jason.
That's Jason.
From Friday the 13th.
Jason
Michael Myers
Voorhees.
So it's a William Shatner mask, painted white. So it looks like he has no facial expression. Also starring, I've forgotten her name, Kyle from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, who's now
what?
All grown up, and she was the little girl in Halloween.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know that.
She and her sister were both big movie stars when they were kids, and now they're both on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and they're crazy, and I love them. There's been a bunch of them. The original one, though, it's basically Jamie Lee Curtis as, like, the perfect young horror movie ingenue.
All right. Some additional things is it's a John Carpenter film. He did the soundtrack himself, all that piano music.
Is it the one that's also got kill, 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 die, die, die,
That's Jason.
Jason.
Yeah, that's the Friday
easy,
the 13th.
Easy to get those confused.
Yeah. The film presents the idea that this little boy, Michael Myers, sees his older sister having sex with her boyfriend, and he's overcome with some sort of Freudian rage and stabs her to death. And then his parents commit him to a hospital, and he's gone for 20-something years, and then Jamie Lee Curtis and her friends are all babysitting on a Halloween night, and Michael Myers comes back.
No, it's her brother too, though, right? Is it her older brother?
They might be related in, like, the Halloween H2O movie, that it becomes something that they're actually related.
But otherwise, he's just a babysitter killer.
He's just a crazy guy.
Okay.
But pursued by Donald Pleasance, a doctor, I think it was Donald Pleasance, who played the bad guy in the James Bond movies at least one time.
Which bad guy?
Blofeld. Also played by Christoph Waltz in the recently pseudo-panned Spectre film. Well, all right.
John hates it when we talk about movies.
No, I'm just trying to follow this.
So that's round two. Congratulations, Shannon.
Woo!
John didn't get a point this time. You did.
I always get the congratulations, though.
So we are tied at one. And Shannon, it's going to be your turn to pick. You've got 1 through 7 as options.
Seven.
You know, this is great. Okay. Shannon Page. What's your middle name, Shannon?
Hunt.
Shannon Hunt Page. What do you know? Would you say that you know that you kind of know, or that you have a vague idea about surface maps?
Surface maps?
Surface maps.
Maps of a surface?
It's a type of map. It's a type of map, and I'm not saying mapping like in a texture sort of way. I'm saying mapping in like geographical sense.
All right.
It's a type of map.
I'm gonna say which one's the least amount?
A vague idea.
I get it. A vague idea is the least amount?
Yeah,
I thought that was the one we were going for.
No. You either know it, you kind of know it, or you have a vague idea.
I have a vague idea.
You got a vague idea. Okay. John, what do you feel about this? Surface maps.
You have to use maps all the time when you're, like, cycling and stuff. You don't, like, plan out your route using surface maps?
No. I'm not, like, a Microsoft person, so I don't know anything about surface.
Microsoft's award-winning tablet computer hybrid. It's almost as if they should sponsor us by sending us each a free Surface tablet.
I'm good.
Shannon's good. I'll take two. You can sell them on eBay. John, dude.
I don't know. I don't have anything.
Nothing?
I don't know. It sounds so specialized when you say it.
It has its own Wikipedia page. I'll say
surface
that.
Surface maps.
And it does. It pertains to a method of
mapping. Hold on, you gotta let her. You gotta let her do it.
That's what I'm saying. Pertains to a method of mapping.
It pertains to a method of mapping.
Okay, so John, so you're gonna just you're bowing out again.
I'm bowing out. I don't know.
Let's see if you have enough to pass my vague idea smell test, you will get a point.
All right.
Tell us about surface maps.
I feel like it's a map of a surface, and so when you say this, I didn't realize it was its own thing. So I was going with what I was picturing, mm-hmm. and I was picturing those topography maps where altitude is depicted by circles. So like a mountain gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
That's like
circles.
That's a topographical map.
That's So I'm equating a surface map and a topography map in my head, and I'm saying they're kind of the same thing.
Now, from what I had read, Shannon is right. A surface map is a type of topographical map that shows you the surface of an object in a pseudo three-dimensional sort of energy without actually being 3D.
So does that mean that I win the point because I had the word topographical map?
I said it right before you did.
No, you did not.
Oh, we've got it recorded. I think I said topographical, so...
No,
okay.
I think I said that.
You know what? I'm gonna be the ruthless judge here, and you're both gonna get half a point. This is a King Solomon situation. We are cutting the point
cutting
in half.
Cutting the baby.
Oh, well then, I don't want you to hurt the poor point.
The baby.
The point's not a lot, so your biblical plea is not going to fly here. Half a point each. That leaves you tied at 1.5. John?
No, I think it's Shannon.
No, I just...
Shannon just picked.
Okay, so I'll take the next one up
okay,
the bottom.
Okay, so we're going to number six.
Okay.
Number six is Dante's Inferno. John, do you know about Dante's Inferno? Do you kind of know about it, or do you have a vague idea?
I have at least a vague idea about it. I'll just stick at a vague idea. I think that's gonna get me through here.
I'm gonna stick at vague idea as well.
Okay, we have dueling vague ideas. John, I want you to you say your vague idea first.
So, Dante's Inferno. We've got the main character. I can't remember what his name is, but
is it Dante?
He's going through the levels of hell, and I think he's trying to. It's like rescuing his love. He's trying to save her.
Don't look at me, I'm not helping you.
There's like 7 levels of hell that he goes through. And that's kind of where we get that idea of levels of hell. Trying to place about the era. It was probably about Middle Ages to 1500 or so. Something like that. I don't know. That's a vague idea.
That's a very strong vague idea. Shannon, do you have any real just like humbling additions?
I don't think he's trying to save his lost love. I think he's dead and he's taking a tour. I feel like he's taking a tour of hell. And I think that circles of hell, and I don't think there's 7. For some reason, I think there's 9 or 11. I can't remember which one. And
never forget.
9-11. Oh, it all comes together.
Jet fuel.
It's and there's, some of the different ones are like the place where suicides go, and there's the place where it's all the commandments, I think, basically, and then some other stuff too. Purgatory, I think, might be the outside layer, circle of hell, Dante's circle of hells. It's Italian, I feel like. I'm gonna throw that out there.
That's good.
More Dante. It's gotta be Italian.
Oh, you're just mad because you didn't go for the easy point there.
Well, you know, I mean, I think you guys have said enough that I'm gonna give you each another half a point on this. it is from the 14th century. It's an epic poem by Dante Alighieri. which he followed with the poems Purgatorio, which talks specifically about purgatory, featured here, and Paradiso, about heaven. It is the journey of Dante through hell, guided by the ancient Roman poet Virgil.
Oh.
So it's like a narrative within a narrative thing. It's like if we wrote a story now and, like, I died and David Bowie, like, walked me through, like, the heaven air hockey lounge, right?
It's like before meta was meta.
Yeah. Now, John had a great point that he is told in Canto number 2 that Virgil had been sent by Beatrice, who is commonly Dante's love in the sonnets and other poems. I don't know that Dante wrote sonnets, but he wrote a lot of love poems as well, and he always talked about Beatrice and this idea of love, because Dante had historically believed that love was actually like particles of light that you shot out of your eyes, and when someone else picked them up with you, that was when you fell in love with somebody. It was actually this scientific beam energy of love.
Wow.
But yeah, so he's science, down there.
Back when science was about that.
And yeah, it's just a deep spiritual, self-loathing Catholic journey. Poetic and wonderful as it may be. Great job.
How many circles or levels
are there?
Oh,
there were nine.
Nine.
Shannon was correct that there were nine. So that puts us,
table's really happy.
You know, we're going on to round 5 now.
We've
I
got
think.
Two each.
And we're tied at 2. This is tense, guys. There is a couch full of people cheering in the distance to find out what happens here. I'm very excited. I don't know, John, how excited are you?
You know, I never really get that excited.
All right, Shannon?
I'm so excited.
And you really can't hide. I know you want to.
I'm so excited that I'm going to start taking diet pills so that I can sing with my two best friends at the Bayside Talent Show.
Hey, you know,
next week.
Sometimes these big breaks only come along once in a while. In exercise leotards in an abandoned warehouse.
Go for it. Sit down and make a sweat. Rock and roll. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yes.
I had the Saved by the Bell soundtrack when I was a kid.
I watched all of that.
And by kid, I mean probably in college.
And you know what? Have you watched Zach Morris?
Have you
Trash?
Seen college kids? They're kids. When we were college kids, we weren't kids, but now they're kids.
Oh man, they're all so tiny, so wistful. You seen the Zach Morris's Trash program?
No.
Oh, you have to watch this. It's this thing on Amazon Prime. It's like I think it's a Funny or Die kind of deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy does these like rapid pace 2.5 minute recaps of Saved by the Bell episodes where he lays out like, this is Zach is a sociopath.
Oh
like,
yeah, he was. I've seen those. He was terrible.
They're great. They're a lot of fun.
I haven't seen that, but I agree with him.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's stupendous because really, even though it's funny, it's actually
horrible.
A bold treatise
it's
against the toxic
mean.
Masculinity that was Saved by the Bell.
Wow, it really is.
He used his friends. He treated women like objects. He used his male privilege as much as he possibly could,
all
even if it
time.
Meant to
white male privilege
to stop time.
Yeah,
that's privilege.
He literally doesn't allow other people to continue existing until he resolves plot points for himself. And that's
so
I mean that
mean
is that's
to Mr. Belding. Poor Mr. Belding.
I mean, he did deliver Mr. Belding's baby in an elevator, but I mean that was like long overdue goodwill.
How can Mr. Belding have a baby?
Well, he's married.
When Mr. Belding and Mrs. Belding love each other.
He didn't have the baby. It was his baby.
You know
I'm
going to
stop
mean.
There.
Hey, what is going on here? All right. Well, good. So we're tied at 2. We're going into round 5. And it's Shannon's pick. What number do you want?
3.
3!
Oh.
I know.
All right.
I know.
Shannon, do you know? Do you kind of know? Or do you have a vague idea about A Star is Born, the franchise. So I'm talking about all four films that have been made. You don't have to know everything about all of them. But yes, there have been four versions of A Star Is Born made.
I was going to say that I kind of knew, but now that you say there's been four, I'm going to say I have a vague idea.
You're going with a vague idea. John, vague idea, or...
I don't have anything more than a vague idea about that.
Okay, okay. Well, let's see what, Shannon, let's hear what you have to say about A Star Is Born.
All right. So the latest version of A Star Is Born is starring Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And also, there's a dog in it, and I hear it's really Bradley Cooper's dog, and it's adorable.
I read that today.
And then I only know of one other version of A Star Is Born with Barbra Streisand.
Perfect.
But that is all I know about it. Oh, it's more than you.
John, what do you got?
I don't know. I noticed that guy, what's his name, Stern? I can't remember his first name. But the guy with, like, the cowboy voice, like, the really, like...
Daniel Stern
voice.
From Home Alone?
No. Stern, I think his name is Stern from,
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Oh, is he the one? I think he might be the one in it with Barbra Streisand. Is he?
Chris Christopherson.
Oh, I have a story about Chris Christopherson.
Oh, do you?
My mom's roommate
Let's
in
take a
college...
Christopherson break. Okay, go ahead.
My mom's roommate in college ran away with Chris Christopherson. And they, like, lived together for, like, a year.
Wow.
When she was, like, 19.
Do we want to put this person on blast or anything?
No,
or?
I feel like I'm going to get sued for libel if I keep telling this story.
Well,
because
allegedly.
I only have it, like, third hand.
Yeah, allegedly your mom's college roommate ran off with Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
For a year.
Yeah.
Allegedly a year.
Allegedly. Allegedly. My mom's college roommate ran away with Chris Christopherson.
Amazing.
This is like more problems than it's worth.
John,
cut that out.
Do you have more to add?
No, I got nothing.
Do you have any vague idea about anyone that ran away with Chris Christopherson?
No, God no.
So A Star Is Born was originally a 1937 film, produced by David O. Selznick, who was an old, like, golden age of Hollywood guy. If you listen to You Must Remember This, you'll hear a lot about David O. Selznick. That's a great podcast.
No. We should plug it if you're going to mention it. It's,
oh, yeah.
It's the one about Hollywood, old Hollywood.
Hosted by Carina Longworth.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. The her Manson family arc is amazing, and then she just did one about the Kenneth Anger book, Hollywood... something. It was a fake news related podcast about this tabloidy book that came out years and years back. Phenomenal work. The 37 version starred Robert Carson. Or wait, no. Dorothy Parker wrote the script. That's exciting.
Oh, really?
I had Janet Gaynor in her only Technicolor film, and Frederick Marsh in his Technicolor debut. That was the 1937 version of the film.
Oh, was Judy Garland in the version?
Judy Garland.
I can
was
picture
in,
now. She's doing jazz hands.
In a 1954 musical version.
Jazz hands by her face, and she has on, like, a yellow bow tie.
It was her and James Mason. And then there was the rock musical version in 76 with Barbra Streisand and Chris Christopherson. And then now we've got the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper starred and directed in 2018 version.
He directed it?
He did.
I did not know that.
Isn't that exciting to be talented and incredibly handsome at the same time? I mean, it's got to be a lot of work.
It is exciting.
You
John,
got, like,
isn't
a really,
it exciting?
You got a really good dog, and you're handsome.
He does have a cute dog.
You know, in this situation, I'm going to give the point to Shannon. You just didn't quite pass the smell test on adding enough, John. So we're currently at 3-2, Shannon.
I mean, you added
but John,
Sam Elliott, which
pick.
Led us to
I
Chris Christopherson.
I didn't even know Sam Elliott, though. No.
But you
zero.
But you knew Stern, which led us to Sam Elliott. And that's a descriptor for Sam Elliott, I think.
No, I don't know.
Well, all right. Let's move on to round 6. Shannon?
Nope.
It's your pick?
Nope. I picked 3 last time. It's John's pick.
Oh, it's John's pick. John!
Wait, let's do 5.
Well, 4 is as high as we go, but 4 is...
We need a better stuff.
All right. It's just, hey, look, it's everything is moving around. It's a lot of moving parts. There's no wrong answers here. I just gave you the highest available answer.
A lot of ins and outs, what have yous.
Yeah, you know, this is just, we are having a good time. And I think people are, I think all 6 million people who are listening to the show right now are going to say, you know what, they are having a good time. And gosh darn it,
wave
I'm having a good
people,
time
Shannon.
Too.
Wave to the people.
I am. I'm totally waving right now.
Shannon is not waving. She is throwing back the last of a glass of wine, which hopefully won't be her last.
Our food's coming.
Clap if you want her to drink more. So we're back with round six, seven. Round seven? No, round six. We're on round six. John just picked. Man, I have a terrible short-term memory.
Yeah.
John just picked. John.
I picked
do
six.
Do you know about, do you kind of think you know, or do you have a vague idea about new wave music? New wave music.
No, I'm not sure what that's referring to. I would say that I don't have an idea.
Okay. Are you passing, or do you think that you can BS your way to a vague?
No, I don't even have a vague one. I don't know.
You can't BS your way on new wave?
New wave? I don't know what that's referring to.
All right.
You could use that terminology for like 100 years. Like, I don't know where it belongs.
So it's the 80s. And it's going to refer to kind of a mix of pop music that used a lot of synthesizers. I'm only going to say that I have a vague idea, but I would say something like, I don't know, is Video Killed the Radio Star like a new wave song? I feel like it is, which would be the song that kicked off MTV.
I can confirm that that is, in fact, considered a new wave song.
Yeah, so it's kind of the music that, like, when music became, like, TV mainstream, new wave is what was out. Like, I would say Flock of Seagulls was kind of new wave. Aha was kind of new wave. Like, basically...
That's way more than a vague idea.
Except I'm kind of making it up as I go along, because some of them might not be considered new wave. Like, somebody that grew up in the 80s might be like, oh, no, that's pop punk or whatever, but I don't know.
Well, Shannon, you've earned yourself a point.
Yay!
You're now up 4-2. New wave was a late 70s and 80s genre of rock music that had ties to mid-70s punk. So it was a time when bands were moving away from blues and rock and roll sounds to create pop music that incorporated disco, mod, and electronic. It was also considered sort of an artsy post-punk. And mm-hmm. The Buggles song, Video Killed the Radio Star, was one of the prime new wave examples. Other examples include Whip It by Devo, Don't You Want Me by The Human League, Take On Me by A-ha, which is... Actually, Take On Me by A-ha is a song that Shannon and I had a sing-off to years ago while playing trivia. We were tied at the Rio Grande restaurant in downtown Denver, and we both had to come up and sing karaoke along to that song. And boy howdy, hitting those high notes.
Who won that?
I think I did, maybe?
I don't remember.
But, you know, other bands, Soft Cell, Depeche Mode, Thompson Twins, these are all new wave songs, new wave genre music. So great. Shannon, you are up now, 4-2. It is your turn to pick. You have three remaining options.
Oh, number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Number one. Number one, Shannon, do you know about, do you kind of know about, or do you have a vague idea about weather pressure systems?
Oh, God. Pass.
Okay.
I'm
going to
pass so hard on that.
Shannon takes the zero. John, you really, all you have to do is provide the most minimal amount of information and you would get a point here.
I don't know. I,
what can you say about weather pressure systems?
I don't know. Usually high pressure system means you're going to have good, like, sunny, clear weather. And a low pressure system means you're going to have, you know, rain and generally cold. The pressure systems kind of get moved around by the jet stream.
Hmm, that sounds good.
Jet stream.
Yeah.
I can tell you that the National Weather Service is basically being kind of jeopardized by, like, private interest. And that, like, we know a lot about, like, about the weather. It's all in the Commerce Department. That's who runs the weather system. And it's kind of interesting that that's actually what we think of as commerce. It's like 60% of the Commerce Department is the weather prediction apparatus of the government. That's kind of what goes into that.
That's great. That is a nice deep cut on the National Weather Service. John, you get the point for sure. The only thing I can really add off the top of my head is that because of the inherent need for balance within pressure systems, like the closed system that is the Earth, when you have a high pressure system and a low pressure system, you tend to have wind going from the high to the low. And that's where our weather kind of comes from.
They kind of push each other around the globe, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's just constantly shoving. It's just a shoving match. So, John, it's now 4-3. This is a tight game. There are two options remaining. So, really, 1-2, you can say, if you say a low number or a high number, I'm going to pick whichever is closely correlated. Unless you throw a decimal
at
me.
I'll say number 1.
Number 1. All right. This is a tough one, I'll admit. This was sort of a deep cut draw on my part. Do you kind of know, or do you have a vague idea about the mythical threefold deck?
Mythical threefold death. Can I have a little bit of background, like what? So,
the mythical threefold death has to do with usually kings, queens, or gods, and it's a method of dying threefold, right? That's as much as I can give you without just saying what it is.
This is on you.
Gee, I've got no idea. I've got to pass it on to my friend Shannon.
So passing, Shannon, you can get a point.
Well, I might as well just bullshit my way here. Threefold death is when you kill someone and then you cut off their head and then you burn their body.
That's a really good guess. It's not correct.
I don't know.
You don't get a point. So the mythical threefold death has to do with someone who dies by hanging, drowning, and wounding.
And what's the third one?
Wounding. So.
Wait, wounding is the last one?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
you've drowned and you've hung.
This is why this was not a good. This wasn't a good call.
And then you're like,
I thought it was a really interesting topic, and maybe. Right? Yeah.
What were you thinking?
The example that springs to mind is the myth of Odin. We're gonna get some background music from the trivia that's going to happen here. Don't worry. I can't afford to pay for the rights for any of this, so we're just going to hope
and
for the
best.
And
that's the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen. There we go.
So the prime example of the mythical threefold death is Odin in Norse mythology. Odin goes to the Tree of Knowledge, and he hangs himself. And he dies there. He is then killed another way. I honestly don't remember. And then he's
drowned.
He is stabbed through the body.
So the second one's got to be drowning.
And it's this great sacrifice thing, right? It's this idea that if you are a deity or you are a god, goddess, you will live through three versions of death to ascend to a greater level of consciousness.
Why is three such a big number in religion?
I mean, it's trinities, and I don't know, like, three seems like, maybe it's because architecturally, like, a triangle is sort of the most structurally sound thing you can do easily without a lot of engineering.
Maybe. I don't know, but you got this threefold death, you got, wasn't, like, Jesus dead for like 3 days.
Yeah, and the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah, there's three.
It's only the third number, so it's going to happen like that much more often.
But you don't hear about four. No one's ever like, oh, the fourfold death.
Yeah, like like the four noble truths. Or the...
Well, just prove me. That's fine. How about five? When does five happen? Let's just keep counting. No, but I do think three is very prominent in a lot of different...
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, three seems to
you're
be...
Right, like it's not a meal unless there's three elements to it, right?
No, that's fair. What yeah, what, like an entree and a side isn't a meal. You need like an entree, a side, and a vegetable. Assuming that sides and vegetables are a different thing. I don't know. That's,
I have a friend who became a priest, and his calling was because he woke up in the middle of the night and he'd had a dream about becoming a priest, and he looked at the clock and it was 3:33, and he decided that was like a very holy number, and that was like his calling, and he dropped out of college and became a priest because of that.
That's amazing. I wish I was driven to do anything with that much. I don't know.
You know, often I look at the clock and it's 3:33 and I feel really guilty that I'm not doing anything. I'm like, oh, I'm eating a sandwich. Whoops.
Well, hey, the sandwich could be very holy. As long as you bless the sandwich. Okay, well, hey guys.
No points.
Right now.
No points on that.
No points on that round. Still 4-3, Shannon. We are going into the final round. Shannon, it would be your choice, so I will provoke you with the topic.
The one that's left.
This is the one that's left. So this can either be a tie, which would be unprecedented. Or we will just have a winner. Shannon, do you kind of know, or do you have a vague idea about the crown jewels?
Oh! I'm going to say that, oh, I don't know. I'm looking at John. I'm going to say I have a vague idea.
Okay. Vague idea, John. What do you say?
I kind of have an idea about it.
You kind of? Okay. Shannon, you're going to go first because you have the vague idea. John will be able to add whatever he can add to that.
All right. They
to,
are the,
to prove his kindness.
The jewels that belong to the royal family in England.
Okay.
And they're on display in a museum. And there's an episode of Sherlock where, what's his face? His name starts with an M.
Moriarty?
Moriarty breaks in and he's sitting on a crown and he's wearing the crown jewels and he's all like, I'm fabulous because I'm Moriarty. I don't think he says that exactly, but that's kind of the gist of it.
That was, yeah, the performance.
There's a lot of tiaras. There's a lot of necklaces. I believe there's a couple of diamonds that are like bigger than a lot of other diamonds. That's what I got. What can you do?
John, what can you add to that?
I seem to have remembered that they keep the crown jewels at the Tower of London.
Oh,
that's correct.
And I've been there. I visited it. Yeah. Yeah, they've got them there. They've got like a bunch of like,
suits
of armor.
I knew they were on display.
And stuff
I knew they were
like
on display.
That.
I couldn't remember where.
It's really, it's royal.
It's royal.
Super regal.
They're totally royal.
All right. Well, that puts us in a tie. A 4-4 tie.
A tie? I didn't get any points?
Shannon, congratulations. You didn't get any points that time.
Aww,
John,
but I got a congratulations.
You got a point.
You're I got always, a congratulations.
I think this is going to be our thing that we do. So in the case of a tie, I really didn't plan anything. I didn't think a tie was going to happen.
At least you had an odd number of
I did. I had an odd number of things.
Yeah, wait. So does that mean there's one more?
No, you guys passed on an equal number. So
oh,
there was
okay.
just like, yeah, we booted a couple times.
You gave a bunch of half points.
Yeah, and I gave half
one points. We got nothing on.
Right. Yes, half points, one you got nothing. So I don't know, what do you guys want to do to, let's just rock, paper, scissors to see who won this round, okay?
Is it 1-2-3 shoot or 1-2 shoot?
1-2-3 shoot.
Is it best out of two or
we're gonna do best of three. Best of three. 1-2-3 shoot. 1-2-3.
He didn't do 1-2-3 shoot.
You did 1-2 shoot.
I still beat you. I was first, and I still beat you.
John threw scissors, Shannon threw a belated paper. A questionable call for sure. But let's
it was
let's
a belated paper.
I was
locked soggy.
Into my decision, no matter what you did.
We're starting again.
One, two, three,
shoot. Rocks. Okay, Shannon gets one with a scissors over paper. Number two. Shannon wins in a 4-4 extra time asterisk victory. Shannon Page has won. Gosh, this is two for you, right?
Two in a row.
This is back-to-back of Vague Idea titles for Shannon Page. The Shannon Page who, as mom's friend that ran off with Kris Kristofferson, allegedly.
I like to think that I'm the undefeated champion of the Vague Idea.
Undefeated Vague Idea champion, Shannon Page. Shannon, do you want to give a victory lap speech here?
I would like to thank everybody who made this possible. John, for not having ideas about things. Nate, for asking questions about things that I had ideas about. And
that
the waitress.
Was not intentional necessarily.
Who brought me wine and food that I'm happy with.
That is humbleness in victory personified, is it not? John, do you have any words from the dissenting party?
I'd just like to say that I'm staring at two big salads in front of Shannon and Nate, and I actually got to eat my dinner while we played.
It's a fair point. The food is, well, salad doesn't really get cold, yeah. So we're kind of cool there. Well, thanks, guys, for playing again. I would like to think that next week or in one of the coming episodes, we will have a special third guest to dip into the pool that is a Vague Idea with us. It won't be too uriny by that point, I don't think.
Too late.
Ew.
Oh, there it is, John. John already took care of it. So, hey, from the historic Irish Snug in Denver, Colorado, this is Nate Regolia with Shannon Page and John Perros. Thanking you for listening, and we hope you come back for more Vague Idea.
Bye.
Bye. A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, with Shannon Page and John Perros. If you like this podcast and you like anime, you should check out my podcast with Sean Grolkowski called You Better Believe This. That's found at moleholeradio.com. If you like science fiction books, you should check out the press that Sean and I started. It's called Space Boy Books, and you can find us at readspaceboy.com.